Better out for all but the far northwest by the afternoon. Windy with gales in the northwest, 17 degrees in Glasgow, 21 in Aberdeen. Now for Friday, the northwest will see clouds, rain and windy conditions, but further south and east it'll be bright. Most areas seeing sunshine through the weekend with temperatures by Sunday up to 28 degrees. So, Mairead, some proper warmth is on the way.
I'm loving the prospect of that. Thank you very much indeed, Ben Rich there at the BBC Weather Centre. Now, Chibo Chung continues her reading of The Cooked Seed. An Chi Min is settling into her new life in an American dorm, but she's frustrated at the slow pace the English class she has to pass before she can be accepted onto her art course.
In order to step up learning English, I bought a 9-inch TV set. The only shows I could follow were Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I found myself improving so much so quickly that I decided to withdraw from the English class to save money. An hour hanging out with my friend Kate was the most effective. It was like walking out of the darkness and into the light. I began to understand bits of people's conversations. I found palm-sized notes on my door. "Good morning, sunshine." It was Kate's way of teaching me English. She made me feel welcome in this country. "Have a nice day. Come over after dinner." She was crazy about a pop singer named Michael Jackson. I was unfamiliar with his music. I also had no idea about another favorite named Mick Jagger. The music they played stirred my insides. I no longer looked at the Sears Tower and heard Chinese gongs. I walked along Lake Michigan Avenue to the rhythm of Beat It. Kate's friends were people of all different races. They swayed their hips to the music, their eyes half closed as if in ecstasy. Holding a hair curler in her hand as a microphone, Kate sang along to Prince's album and her girlfriends rolled on the floor laughing. They explained the song was about sex. I realized I was too old for this crowd. A 28-year-old among 18-year-olds. Instead of feeling excited and entertained, I felt out of place and lonely. I worried about my debt and the limited time I had to save myself. I'd been in America almost 4 months and wished that I could afford to call home. I longed to hear the voices of my parents. I wrote, filling both sides of one sheet of paper, printing my characters small to save postage. I received a letter back. My mother didn't say, "I miss you." She believed it would weaken me if she showed emotion. I remembered the time she abruptly ended a visit to me in my labor camp. She simply couldn't face the terrible conditions I lived in. She left, despite the fact that she'd just arrived. The journey had taken her 8 hours, 5 standing on a crowded bus, then 3 more walking on rough roads. She feared that if she broke down, my own courage to go on would be affected. I wished she'd stayed. Her presence would have comforted me and given me strength. Kate invited me to her home for Christmas. Her family treated me warmly and kindly, and I responded with enthusiasm. But it was difficult not to miss home. I put a smile on my face and learned a loneliness that had no name. Back at school, Kate introduced me to a group of students from China. I told her I couldn't afford to speak Chinese. I still had to improve my English to be allowed to join the art college. But Kate was right that I needed to socialize. Sitting among the students from China, I was able to drop my mask. And it felt good. They shared the same burdens I did. We joked that we were like the roof of a bamboo hut under the weight of snow. Practical training period was what the Chinese students discussed instead of pop music. It meant that the graduating student was given 1 year to locate a job in America, which would lead to a green card. The difficulty was that it had to be a job no American citizen would be able to or want to do. A job that might pay a minimum wage, but that would require the skill of a PhD. The competition was enormous. Even then, you might not get the job if the hiring company didn't want to go through the immigration process. It was the first time I heard the words going underground and illegal alien. The Chinese students called it the last option. Can you stand being a permanent missing person to your family? What if your parents became ill and needed you? I learned that every one of these students was on some sort of scholarship or grant, and I began hunting, staying up all night filling applications. One day, I made a great leap forward. I owed it to Mr. Rogers' TV program. He said, "The best gift you can offer is your honest self." It was the first sentence of which I'd understood every word. I broke into tears. What a thrill to feel worthy. It had never occurred to me that my honest self could be a best gift to anyone. I began to think in English for the first time. My world opened like spring flowers blossoming all at once. Though my English score didn't reach the required pass mark, after interviewing me over the telephone, Dr. Barbara Gunter from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago decided to admit me. I rewarded myself with 2 extra hours of sleep. At the orientation day, I felt like Alice in Wonderland. I'd never seen so many strange styles of dress, hair, and makeup. One boy dyed his hair in rainbow colors and piled it up like a hamburger. I was shocked by the multitude of rings worn in eyebrows, under the noses, and on the bellies of girls and boys. I wondered why anyone would want to imitate a cow. In China, a cow's life symbolized misfortune. I tried hard to understand the president's welcome speech. He said something about how 99% of the graduates from this school wouldn't land jobs. He talked about the choices and sacrifices an artist must make. "There's still time to change your mind," he told us. I would have stood up and walked away if I could have got any other college to accept me with my English score. I visited the job placement office and applied for a modeling job with the school's fashion department. I was thrilled when I got it. It paid $7 per hour, more than my monthly salary in China. I moved all my courses to the evening so I could apply for more jobs. Soon, my schedule was full. I became an attendant for the student gallery and a helper at the admissions office. I sought cheaper housing. An ad that read, "Rent negotiable," got my attention. Stella was 18. She was astonishingly beautiful, with golden hair and a boyish haircut. As a sculpture major, she worked with metals and found objects. Power saw, hammer, and electric drills were her tools. She told me on the phone that her place was ideal for artists. When she heard I was from China, she said, "Red China? Cool. I'd love to have you as my roommate. You don't have to pay a penny if you really can't afford it. Just share your experience with me." I told her my budget was $100. And she said, "Deal." Stella's studio had no windows and no separate rooms except a tiny makeshift bathroom. There was an old stove by the rear door with an old refrigerator next to it. The room smelled of animal stink. Hanging from the ceiling was an assembled metal sculpture with a wheel. As I stared at it, 2 creatures jumped on me from the air. I screamed, "Rats!" Stella laughed. "They're ferrets, my pets." She showed me the web-like overhead series of tunnels she'd built for them. She treated them as if they were her babies. I couldn't help but associate them with disease and filth. I asked where she slept. She pointed at a bare mattress on the floor. She had an extra mattress I could use. I thanked her and put down my things, then visited the bathroom. The sink was full of dirty dishes. In the middle of the night, The ferrets came through my blanket by my feet and up to my chest. I was horrified. Stella seemed to have lost interest in my former life, so eventually I asked if I might ask her a few questions. What do you think of Mao's teaching that American imperialism is a paper tiger?
Who cares?
I was dumbfounded. Not one out of a billion Chinese would dare to say what she just said.
What's your next question?
I read from my notes. How much money do you offer to your parents each month? She laughed.
Are you kidding me? Nothing.
Again, I was dumbfounded. You don't support your parents? When I earn money, it's expected that one third of it will go to the care of my parents.
This is America. Parents owe their children. Besides, my parents don't need my help. They own an airport.
I couldn't believe what I heard. Kind, warm, and generous as Stella was, we had nothing in common. We shared two classes, poetry writing and art and economics. She was the star of both, whilst I could barely follow. I had never heard of economics before and was unable to comprehend the concept of demand and supply. Stella told me it was all her parents discussed over dinner while she was growing up. When I asked her advice on how to survive the class, she suggested I negotiate an exchange with the professor. You have something to offer, something we Americans don't know about and would be interested in learning, and that's China. It turned out to be great advice. Instead of turning in a paper on American economics, I presented a paper on Chinese communist economics, reporting on how socialism worked and failed to work in China, and I earned a pass. Dr. Barbara Gunter was a walking impressionist painting. She taught essay writing. One of my fellow students complained about her strictness. I didn't understand. How could a teacher behave otherwise? I'd made paying off my debt my priority, and the only times I ever missed lessons were when they conflicted with my job schedule. My politeness and the fact that I was Dr. Gunter's favorite international student didn't count. She failed me. She was passionate about teaching and was loved by her class, but she didn't hesitate to show her feelings toward those she considered lazy or spoiled. "My job is to teach, not to please," she said. I never told Dr. Gunter that her failing me was the reason I so wanted to study under her. I respected her sense of responsibility toward her students. I signed up for more of her classes. By then, I'd got a scholarship grant that covered my tuition, so although I still had to earn living expenses, the tremendous pressure was lifted. I could afford to focus on my studies, and I was determined not to disappoint Dr. Gunter. Reading for me at this point was extremely difficult. I still had to open my dictionary for 10 out of every 13 words in my textbook, over 200 times a page. I sprayed ice water on my face and pinched my thighs in order to stay awake. Each day I survived in the classroom, I regarded as a triumph. I dragged the composition topics into my own territory against the backdrop of Chinese culture and history, where I could make comparisons and comment intelligently. I wrote slowly with my baby English, but it worked. When asked to copy the style of Virginia Woolf and convey a woman's inner struggle, I wrote about my grandmother. She had bound feet, but still survived the Japanese invasion, China's civil war, and the communist liberation.
Chipo Chung has been reading The Cook Seed by Anshi Min. The programme was abridged and produced by Jane Marshall Productions. Now, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday, the 4th of July. There are warnings of gales in Rockall, Malin, Hebrides and Bailey. The general synopsis at 1800. Low, 350 miles west of Rockall, 985, expected southeast Iceland, 991 by 1800 Thursday. New high expected Fitzroy, 1026 by same time. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, north at Cera, south at Cera, 40s, Cromarty, 4th. Southerly or southwesterly, 4 or 5, increasing 6 or 7 for a time. Rain for a time, fog patches, except in Cromarty and 4th. Moderate or good, occasionally very poor, except in Cromarty and 4th. Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight. Southwest, 3 or 4, back.